We've got a lot of activity here in the studio. Michael Abramson has just joined us. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hi, Ian. Great to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you too. So, we're going to take traffic and then we're going to come back and speak to Michael. But I just want to introduce you quickly, and just say that Michael Abramson, as Louis Karpus told us a bit earlier in the sport, he's best known as one of South Africa's foremost sports broadcasters. But he also has a passion for mentalism, and we're going to have a little bit of fun with Michael in the studio this afternoon. But let's see what's happening on your highways and byways, and we'll be chatting to Michael in a bit.
This is 101.9 High FM Traffic.
For your High FM Traffic today, on Sunning Hill on the N1 northbound, there's a stationary vehicle after Rivonia Road, so please drive carefully. On Alberton R59 southbound, crash before the Swartkoppies Road, queuing traffic over there. And in Woodmead, on Woodmead Drive, traffic lights not working. And in Randburg, on Republic Road, traffic lights not working around the Brightwater Commons. So expect delays over there.
Hershey's are going to make your Christmas wish come true. Today, the 18th of December, we're giving you 18% off all Samsung TVs and appliances. Yes, get a massive 18% off all Samsung TVs and appliances. Now that's a gift worth shouting about. Listen out and visit Hershey's.co.za to find out what tomorrow's mystery gift is. T's and C's apply. Hershey's, we will save you money this Christmas.
Life is stressful enough without having to deal with unreliable plumbers and electricians. When things go wrong, the last thing you need is more aggravation. At Supernova Electrical and Plumbing, we understand your frustration and go to great lengths to provide excellent service with quality workmanship at reasonable prices. We've been doing this for over 30 years. So for all professional electrical or plumbing services, go to supernova.co.za now.
You don't need to see a doctor if your PC packs up, or ask for a painter when your plumbing needs work. You talk to an expert who knows what you need. Hatfield Motor Group are the Volkswagen commercial experts. From the versatile VW Caddy 7-seater crew bus, the award-winning VW Amarok, or the reliable VW Kombi, the Hatfield VW team will give you the best deal, expert advice, and fantastic service. Our specials are listed on our Facebook pages and on hatfieldvw.co.za. Rated number one in service.
101.9 High FM, one nation, one station.
Welcome back. It's just 11 minutes before 5 in Best Arabia. I'm in for Kathy and Simon, and I'm so excited to have Michael Abramson in studio with us. Michael, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure. Absolutely lovely to be here.
Yeah, and like we heard, I think Louis Karpus did a better intro than I could. But Michael, you're known for your broadcasting and you're a familiar voice to radio and television. Tell us just a little bit before we get into talking about mentalism and power challenges and all that. Tell us a little bit about your career and what brings you to mentalism.
All right. Well, very different avenues, but Louis played a big part in the early part of my career because right. He and Gerald de Kock were the two Johannesburg-based broadcasters, effectively.
Yeah.
And what Louis said is absolutely right. I used to sit with him at the back of the commentary box begging for an opportunity to go on air, and it was so difficult to get in those days. And then we were getting back into international cricket in the early 1990s, and Gerald went overseas to do the India tour. And suddenly there were a lot of matches here because we're fortunate that we have Centurion and Wanderers and Easterns and Western Transvaal or whatever they were called in those days. So there were lots of different venues in close proximity. And obviously you can't have only one commentator covering such a vast region. So they asked me to get involved and go and do a couple of reports. And then it became commentary, and then it became internationals. But Louis and I spent a lot of time together traveling around the commentary boxes of the world, of the country at least, and doing cricket.
That's
and
amazing.
Then, and then I got into a bit of rugby. They asked me, can you do rugby? I said, no. They said, go try. And we started doing rugby. And then the soccer people came to me and said, what do you know about BSL?
Yeah.
Or domestic soccer. I said, not much. They said, you've got a week. Read up about it, learn the players, and you're doing your first television match for soccer. It was Chiefs against Bloemfontein Celtic, I remember, the old Rand Stadium.
Wow.
And I had to go on air and do that, and within a few weeks I became a soccer commentator. And it just mushroomed from there. Then I did ice hockey, gymnastics, which is a particular passion of mine. I used to do all the gymnastics events. Ice hockey in Krugersdorp of all sports.
Ice hockey in Krugersdorp.
Yeah, it was quite a thing. So it's been great. I've traveled all over the world. commentating internationally and domestically.
Yeah.
And it's fun. These days there are other challenges though, so.
Yeah, and the change to mentalism, you said it's totally different. Where did that come about?
Mentalism was always, well, magic was always a passion of mine early age. And then I didn't know much about mentalism.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine at the time, who was also a well-known magician illusionist, Elan Smith, was around, and he said to me, there's a mentalist who's coming out here to South Africa. Let's go watch him. So we went to watch his show. It was Mark Salem. Mm-hmm. He's a very well-known name in the industry. And we went to watch his show probably in the mid-1990s. And I watched what he was doing, and he was pulling books off a bookshelf, and people were opening up books to random pages, and he was telling them what was written on the pages. And I thought, I don't know what's going on here, but this looks very interesting. It looks like something I should be learning about. Right. And I started to learn. I started to learn, read books on psychology, started to read a bit about body language and probability from my statistical backgrounds. And eventually I started to put a show together.
Yeah.
And then communicate with mentalists all around the world and visit them when I travel. And it's just grown from there. So I was sort of South Africa's first main mentalist, if you like. And now there are quite a few who do mentalism exclusively, and some who do mentalism and magic combined, which I'm dead against because I think they are very separate entities.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it's fun. I use it in my commentary a lot in terms of looking at body language of players, trying to understand the psychology of what's going on, and a lot of the memory work, which is obviously what I'm probably best known for.
Fantastic. So, okay, so now we've got to get onto the pie challenge, and we're not told everyone we're talking about pies. Everyone thought we were going to have a pie eating contest in the studio. So much to many's dismay, because as everyone knows, we talk about food on the show a lot. there was a lot of disappointment. So explain a little bit about the pie challenge, and what is this great achievement that you've been entered into record books and everything. Tell us a little bit about that, about the background.
I don't know if it's necessarily a great achievement. It's just something I've always wanted to do. So I'm a speed cuber, which means I solve the Rubik's Cube quickly. We have competitions to do that.
And that's not by taking it apart, huh?
Not by taking
it apart.
Okay,
just checking.
A legitimate way of memorizing 140 algorithms and literally solving a cube.
How many algorithms?
I memorize about 140.
Okay.
And you don't use them all in every solve, but there are a number that are, so for me it's easy to memorize. My hands just don't work quickly enough, so that's why I can't, my mind works a lot quicker than I'm able to move the cube.
Incredible.
So that's my problem. That's why I can't beat all these youngsters who are so nimble with their fingers. But a few years ago, there was a competition we had in Cape Town, and one of the fellow contestants said to me, why don't you do the pie challenge? Mm. And I said, what's the pie challenge? And he said, well, there's this number pi that continues indefinitely. It has unstoppable number of decimal places. And they have a challenge every year around the world where you have to try and recite as many of the decimals as possible in order without error. And the South African record at the time was, I think, about 800 digits. And I said, you know what, I'm going to learn it. So I sat down, and one day I learned 50, and then I learned the next 50 and the next 50. And within about a week, I knew first 500.
Wow.
But knowing it is one thing. Getting the speed up is something else. So I started to learn it, and eventually I got up to 1,500.
Wow.
Which is the South African record currently. But what I wanted to do is also break the world record.
Right.
And the world record is 70,000. So if
70,000?
Around about 70,000. Okay. So if the problem is to recite that, you need somebody to stay up for 24 hours nonstop and look at digits on a page. So it's not practical. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody's going to listen to it. Nobody's going to judge it. So I thought, let me try and do something different. So I looked at the speed, the rate of digits per second, and nobody has ever done faster than about 3 to 3.5 digits per second. And I thought, I'm going to try and double that. So what I did last year was I did 1,500 digits of pi on Pi Day, blindfolded, in 4 minutes and 7 seconds, which is at a rate of 6.1 digits per second. So you basically haven't got time to breathe. You've just got to recite these digits blindfolded with 4 judges watching you. And the judges were maths teachers and engineers and people who are fairly qualified to work with figures and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they had to try and follow along. And luckily I did it, and there's a video obviously on my website and all over social media of me doing it. And a few weeks ago it was officially ratified, because they came back to me and they said they have to check every single digit. And there's an international body that control all the records around the world.
Yeah.
And they eventually put me up on their site. So I now hold the South African record and the African record for most digits of pi recited without a mistake, and the world record for speed.
That's incredible.
So it was quite an achievement.
So congratulations, first
Thank
of all.
You.
And we're talking to Michael Abramson in studio. Michael is a mentalist. He's a par champion, and that's not eating. If you've got any questions for Michael, or you want to ask, or you want to know a little bit more about what Michael does, please telegram us on 061-895-1019, or you can SMS us on 34519. Mark Hummel writing in says, loved watching Michael memorize a pack of cards in 45 seconds while talking to the audience at the same time during one of his shows.
Yes, I remember that. And Mark was instrumental in helping me set up a fundraiser for his shul a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
So thanks very much, Mark, and good to hear from you.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing also next year is I'm trying to get a sponsor on board, so
okay.
Good sponsorship opportunities, because it's going to be all over the social media and all over the media and everywhere else. So on Pi Day next year, which is 14th of March 2020, I'm going to try and do 2,000 digits, which is 500 more than I did this year, but at a faster pace per second.
Okay.
So I have to do that in 5 minutes, 29 seconds, which is very, very scary. So it's 500 more digits, but faster rate per second.
That's incredible.
So that's going to be quite a challenge. I'm working on it now at the moment and just practicing it like 100 digits at a time, trying to get it done as fast as possible. But the problem is it's so easy to make a mistake or to mispronounce a digit, and you're not allowed to do that. So it has to be absolutely smooth. So we'll cool. do that hopefully.
Fantastic.
In January, we'll look at doing it.
We're looking forward to hearing more about that. We're talking to Michael Abramson in studio. We're going to ask Michael to stick around for a little bit with us after the news. We're going to take the news at 5 o'clock. We've got 2 minutes to go. And we're going to ask Michael a little bit more about maybe to give us a little bit of a demo, and maybe we'll play a game of mentalism with Michael. And we're also going to ask him a little bit about Nut for Nut. So we're going to bring you the news, just going to bring you some updates in terms of what's coming up after the news. We've got some great music coming up. We've got the Israel report. And as I say, please send me your questions, anything you want to know about mentalism, about maybe Michael can teach us a little bit about being a bit mindful over the holidays. Always important to exercise our minds. Let's go across to David with the news. We're joined in studio by Michael Abramson. We're going to continue our discussion from the previous hour, and we're going to ask Michael to share a little bit more about mentalism. I've got a question here from Michelle, and I'm going to take this question. Michelle, thank you for writing in. Michelle says, hi, please ask Michael if it is possible for anyone to learn mentalism. Also, any tips for improving memory? Great question.
Really great question. Thanks, Michelle. Is it possible for anyone to learn mentalism? Well, it depends on your definition of mentalism, because there are many different mentalists around the world, and many of them do different things. So is it a learnable skill? Well, it depends on which aspect of the skill we're talking about. If, for me, my main skill as a mentalist is memory and mathematics, because that's my background. Is it possible to learn memory techniques? 100%. I teach memory techniques all the time. You can buy books on memory. You can hone your memory skills. So definitely memory is learnable. Is it possible to study body language? Yes, 100%. It's possible to study psychology, probability. So in that sense, it's definitely learnable. The problem is, however, making it entertaining. If you're going to be a mentalist who's going to perform for other people, you've got to have routines that are entertaining, that people want to watch. That's not only about, look how great I am, look what I can do that you can't do type of thing, because people switch off about that immediately. So what you want to do is make it entertaining, engage people all the time, get them involved, wow them, but entertain them first of all. So is it a learnable skill? Well, parts of it definitely are learnable, but it takes a lot of dedication and application. It's not like learning a magic trick. You go read the instructions and you go on stage and perform it. Mentalism, every single show, even if I do the same material show after show after show, is completely different, because it's heavily dependent on the reaction of the volunteers you have and the environment and how the audience perceives it. So it's wonderful. You fly by the skin of your pants, by the seat of your pants, sorry. It's great, because every show is exciting and you're constantly engaged.
Yeah. So tell us, Michael, back to Michelle's question. What tips can you give for each and every one of us to improve our memory?
Well, just very generally, because I mean, I do memory courses that take a day or two to
teach skills. Give us the 2 months.
So I'd say the most important thing with memory is to revise frequently.
Okay.
It's no point reading something once, because it will disappear out of your mind within 48 hours and you won't be able to recall it. So revise frequently. If you're learning something, go over it. The average person takes between 3 and 10 times to lock something into your long-term memory. So you need to revise it, frequently go over it, use different parts of the brain. So for example, don't just read something through. Read, write it down, listen to it, put it on a recording device and play it back to you. Test yourself on it. For example, when I learn the pie challenge, I don't just look at a page and learn numbers. What I do is I learn the first few numbers, then I record it and play it back and hear my voice saying it. Then I type it into a computer to make sure that I'm doing it correctly. So I'm using different parts of the brain to try and lock it in, so that I give myself the best chance of being able to recall it under pressure.
That's great.
So that's what I would say is a very short 2 minutes tip, if you like.
Fantastic. Well, I hope that answers Michelle's question. Michael, give us a quick rundown. Just, you don't have to do 5 minutes of the pie challenge, but can you just run us through just the sequence of those numbers, just to get a feeling of the speed. So, Tom, have you got the timer?
Where do you want me to start? Should I start at the beginning and the middle?
Yeah, I think the beginning's good, Tom. Huh?
All right.
Okay, let's start at the beginning.
So how many do you want? The first 200?
First 100.
2 minutes.
Two minutes. Okay, 2 minutes. I can probably do about 600. That's going to be a bit long.
Okay, let's do that.
So should I do the first? I'll do the first 200, which will be about 30, 35 seconds.
Oh, that's
okay. I'm out of practice, so with me.
Okay.
All right. So
now
I would do this with judges sitting there with printouts of the digits, and I would do it blindfolded normally.
Okay.
So I'm just going to do it for you.
So do you want us to time? Do you want us to time it, or do you want?
And I'm going
to
do it. I'll do it fast. I'll do it more or less at my competition speed.
Okay.
But, so it'll be about 16 to 17 seconds per 100 digits. I'll probably do it in about 33, 34 seconds, the first 200. But I haven't done this for a while, so so let's give it a go.
Let's give it a go. Have you got your timer ready, Tava? Okay, Tava's going to get the timer up. Let's get going. We're going to do this. So everyone that's listening, Michael is going to do 35 seconds. How many?
I'll do the first 200 digits.
You'll do the first 200 pi digits. In around 35
and
seconds.
And you can see I've got nothing written in front of me.
We've got proof here. We've got many witnesses in the studio here.
Okay.
Tom will give us a countdown.
3.14159625389732384626433327918419719693958219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219748219648     9821480654795555825345 That's 200.
How much, Tom?
That is 31.
Wow. Oh, my word.
All right, and so without saying that's 100, that's about so that's that.
You see, if I go at that pace for 2,000 digits, I'll break my record. But it's hard because you can't – that's basically what you have to do.
Wow.
So that's why I think it's a record that hopefully is going to stand for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is going to
Michael,
be crazy enough to try it.
That is absolutely incredible. And the fact that you're literally not breathing.
Yeah, you can't – yeah, I mean, you have to control your breath. Because, I mean, I could have made my life easy. I could have said I'm going to go 18 seconds per 100 digits and still have done it in under 5 minutes. But I like to challenge myself. I like to keep myself constantly on my toes. Which also, by the way, you spoke about Nerd for Nerd earlier.
Yes, yeah, let's chat a little bit about that.
That was a completely a different challenge because there I'm playing against people who are predominantly Afrikaans speaking.
Okay.
And a lot of the songs they play are Afrikaans songs.
Okay.
Now, I don't routinely listen to Afrikaans songs. I did when I was younger. I listened to a few Afrikaans songs and I know the main ones.
Yeah.
But some of the songs that come out these days, these people who I'm playing against listen to these songs every single day on radio because they tuned into stations that play them. I don't listen to these songs routinely.
Wow.
So they basically have a database of about 10,000 different songs. They can quiz you on any one of those songs. They don't tell you in advance what's happening. And they play you sometimes one or two notes of a song and you've got to try and recognize the song.
Or
they'll give you a clue. They'll say an artist and you have to try and think of the songs that artist could play. Or they'll give you a cryptic clue. Or they'll play you just the intro of the song and you have to identify the song.
That's incredible.
And people sit at home and think, okay, it's not that bad. Which is true. I mean, I play at home and I get most of the songs right and people play at home and say, oh, that's an easy song. But when you're there under pressure, you know that if you don't buzz in within the first few notes, one of your fellow competitors who are very, very good and they're chosen on the show because they know their stuff are going to buzz and get the answer right. So you're constantly under pressure. You've got to work out in your head. Your head's almost like a computer when you're playing because you've got to think, is it strategically a good idea for me to buzz now? Or should I wait for one more note and risk the fact that they might get in before me?
Wow.
So it's constantly you're on your toes, but it is such a high.
So tell me, you won the
So what the format is, there are basically about 3,000 people who go for auditions.
Wow.
excuse me. Yeah. Out of those 3,000, they take 36 in each season of the show. So you've got about a 1% chance of getting on the show to begin with, which is very, very small chance. So you have to impress them in the auditions. And the auditions are very similar to the show. They play you pieces of music and you've got to identify them and write down the artists and all that sort of thing. So firstly, to get on the show. Then you go on the show and they put you against three random contestants from the series. You play against them and you have to win your first show. In other words, you have to make more money on the show than your three other contestants. Then you qualify for the semifinals. In the semifinals, you're playing against people who have already won their shows.
Yeah.
So these are really good people and the level goes a step up and it's huge pressure. And in my semifinal, I was behind a long way. And then my strong games, which are remembering lyrics, came up. Okay. And luckily I did well in those and I got ahead. And then you get to the final where you're playing against the top people in the series. And the two ladies I played against are brilliant at in their music knowledge. I mean, they know every song in seconds. So it was a huge challenge. But luckily in the final on that night, everything just went for me. I got songs that I knew. I was able to, I think through the mentalism stuff, I think I psyched them out when they knew they were playing against the mentalists. I think they were freaked out before they started. Also, I'm very comfortable in front of TV cameras because that's what I've been doing my whole life. So for me, it's not scary to go and stand in front of a TV camera, whereas for them, maybe it's a little bit more intimidating.
That's incredible.
So I used all these aspects to my advantage because they had the advantage of the language and the songs that they knew. Mm. I had the advantage of being comfortable on television and being able to, for my brain to work reasonably quickly.
Yeah.
So it all played out. It was very, very tense. It came down to the very last song in the last show.
Yeah.
And luckily it was, they played me two notes. It was an Afrikaans song and luckily I recognized it before my.
So what was the song?
Mama Ek Wil 'n Man Hê.
Okay. So we're going to have to find that tab, but we'll have to play
two notes of that song. And I thought if I don't buzz now, I'm going to take a chance and I could have thrown away the series on that go, but luckily it worked for me.
Not sure if IFM has that on their playlist.
No,
we'll try and find it for you. Michael, we've got a request to do something a little bit fun in the studio. So, in the next 5 minutes, can we try something? Have you got something we can try?
Well, what works nicely on radio and what I've done in the past is I have memorized over the years the flags of every independent country in the world and the capital of every country and its location on the world map. So what you can do is you can find any country as long as it's an independent country and not part of another country. Like, for example, don't go Biafra, which is part of Nigeria, but it's a disputed area.
Okay.
Or Chechnya or something like that, because that's not an independent country.
Sure.
But there are 197 choices. Okay. Find something really obscure.
Okay.
Tell me the country and I'll try and tell you from memory what the capital of the country is and what the flag looks like and where it's located on the world map.
Mm.
And, I mean, we can also do things like who wrote certain books, which I've been saying, and American presidents and James Bond movies and all these things. But I think the flag is worth it.
Let's try a country. So
be nice.
I'm being nice. I'm going to pick one in Africa. And I'm going to
pick whatever you like.
I'm going to go with the Gambia.
All right. The Gambia is one of the smallest countries in Africa. If you Google it on the map, it's actually, it's inside Senegal. So Senegal is like a reverse C shape. If you like, it's because it borders the Atlantic Ocean. So it's like, if I'm drawing it over here in the air for you, it's like a reverse C shape. And in the middle of the C shape is this little worm, which is the Gambia. And the Gambia's flag is, I have to just try and remember the order of the colors, but I know it's red, blue, and green. And it has white little stripes, very thin white stripes in between those colors. And the capital, now I always get mixed up between the two that are very similar. It's either Bangui or Banjul. Now, I just have to remember. So my code for this is Gambia. Somebody's playing the banjo, so I think it would be Banjul.
Oh, my word. Spot on.
There you go.
Tava's sitting next to me here.
And that's a country that most people don't even know about. So
Tava, you look speechless.
Can we do one more?
Yeah, let's do one more. Okay, Tava, pick a country.
Pick a country, any country in the world.
I'm going to pick... I don't know. I don't have the map in front of me for Mauritania.
Mauritania. Okay. Also, very, very similarly located to same part of Africa. It's on the west, northwest. Mauritania. The flag is my two favorite colors in it. Actually, they've just changed the flag, so I don't know which flag you've googled there. There are two different flags for Mauritania.
Mm-hmm.
The one is green and yellow, and the yellow one is, it's a crescent moon sort of at the bottom, almost looks like a smiley face with, I think it's a star above it, in yellow, and the background is green. But now the new flag of Mauritania, which you're probably not looking at, is they've introduced two red stripes. So one at the top and one at the bottom almost looks like, almost, if I can use this, it's like the Israeli flag with the blue stripes. That's what they've done in the new flag of Mauritania.
Yep.
Capital's Nouakchott. Nouakchott, and Mauritania. As I say, it's a very, very big country. It borders Mali,
yeah,
and it's on the northwest of Africa.
Incredible.
You want to try one last one? Give maybe David a chance.
David, give us a country.
Let's go with Kiribati.
Oh, wow. Okay, Kiribati. That's other side of the world. That's in the Pacific. Kiribati is, it's actually the easternmost country in the world. So it's the first country that saw in the millennium. All right, Kiribati, the capital is Tarawa.
Wow.
And the flag of Kiribati, now this flag is quite, it's quite confusing. It's got four main colors. It's got the sea, which is blue and white, but curvy lines, blue and white. And then the rest of the flag is like the sun coming out. It's red and yellow, but coming out of this ocean because it's a Pacific island. And so that's basically what it looks like. I can see it in my mind. It's basically curved lines, blue and white alternating, and then red and yellow coming out with the sun coming out of the ocean because it's apparently a very nice country to go and visit as a tourist.
Dave, what do you make of that?
Is that right?
Yeah, it is. There is a seagull.
Yes, there's a seagull. I wanted to leave Nelson out of this. Seagull's name was Nelson.
Thank you. That was absolutely incredible. It's been amazing having you in the studio. Thank you so much for coming. I know you're also struggling with a bit of back pain and that, so thank you for standing for such a long time.
No problem. It's what I do every day.
Absolutely. If anybody wants to know more about Michael, please just telegram us or SMS us. You can learn so much from this. It's incredible. We've all been sitting here in the studio with our laptops open. I've been Googling countries I don't even know. And Michael recites them like he's been and visited all of them. Michael, we just want to wish you lots of success for your challenge next year.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to welcoming you back. We will ask Louis the same questions we asked you, and we'll see how well he does at 25-6.
I'm sure Louis will know exactly what the flag of Kiribati looks.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to ask him at 25-6.
But I just want to say thank you. If there are any companies or anybody who's interested in getting involved, maybe with the Pi Challenge next year, because it's going to get exposure all over the place. So
where can people get hold of you, Michael?
It's easy to find. Can I give my website
address?
Okay, www.michaelabramson. It's Abrahamson. Yeah. It's the unkosher one with a ham in the middle.
Okay.
So www.michaelabrahamson.co.za. It's a new website that's actually just been designed. It's got videos from my shows and links to all the social media things, info on the Pi Challenge and info on Nerd for Nerds and all fun things that you can watch. And what Mark Hummel sent in earlier about me memorizing a pack of cards. There's a video of me actually doing that on stage.
Well, we may have to get you back in to do that for us. Michael, last prediction, England versus South Africa.
I would like to say South Africa. The question is just, do the new team that have come in, do they have enough time to work with the players? There are a lot of untried and untested players at that level, a lot of new caps in the squad. England have been an established squad for some time. The advantage South Africa have is obviously it's in our own conditions. Mm. We always rise to the challenge, and it's going to be a tightly contested series. Last time England were here, they smashed us in Cape Town, and then we came back to the Wanderers and beat them quite easily. So it could be quite a tough battle, but I sense it will be probably one test either way or maybe a drawn series.
Fantastic. Michael Abramson, thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Great pleasure. Thank you, gentlemen. Been great to be with you.